Welcome to IP Management Voice, the podcast spotlighting leading minds in IP and IP management. This series supports the IP Business Academy's call for subject matter experts to share insights, foster reflection, and strengthen the global IP system. Join the conversation via our newsletter and explore cutting-edge content on DPLEX. The content in this episode, which gives insights into IP and branding-aligned business strategies, comes from Nina Cola.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at something fascinating, the hidden structures, really, behind the brands we use every single day. Think about it. That logo you instantly recognize, maybe the sound an app makes when you open it. It feels like just clever design, maybe good marketing, but it's actually much more than that. It's strategic and it's very, very protected. Yeah, imagine a brand, maybe its logo, its jingle, even the shape of its bottle is known worldwide. Now, what stops someone else just copying it? Well, that's where intellectual property or IP comes in. It's kind of like the silent guardian, you know, allowing brands to not just survive, but to really thrive and grow globally. So today we're doing a deep dive into IP's role in B2C, that's business to consumer markets. We're focusing specifically on how it powers branding and growth. Our guide for this is a really excellent summary of a lecture by IP expert Nina Kolar from Denemeyer. It was part of the CELPI University Diploma in IP Business Administration. So top-notch stuff. It really gets into how businesses use IP to build value, protect their key assets, and, well, drive growth. So our mission here is to unpack how things like trademarks, copyrights, industrial designs, even trade secrets, how they underpin everything, from, say, the shape of your favorite soda bottle to how a fast food chain operates exactly the same way everywhere. We want to give you a shortcut, really, to seeing how IP isn't just legalese, but a core strategic tool. Okay, let's get into it. Nina Kolar's lecture starts by positioning IP as absolutely foundational for business success, which is interesting, right? Because we often think of assets as, like, physical things, buildings, stock, cash. But here we're talking about intangible assets, ideas, creations becoming central to actual tangible success. It's about owning the idea.
That's exactly it. These IP assets, trademarks, copyrights, designs, patents, they aren't just legal formalities. They're instrumental, really powerful tools. They let businesses carve out their own space, differentiate themselves in really crowded markets. They become key pillars for making money. You see it across the board, branding, marketing, advertising, packaging, even franchising. The interesting question, though, is how exactly do these intangible things create such real, tangible difference?
Right. So let's start with branding, because that feels like ground zero for identity. When we talk about a strong brand, what parts are actually being protected by IP? It seems so broad.
Well, branding is basically the whole process of linking a product or company to specific things, a name, a logo, maybe a slogan, even just a feeling to build a unique identity in people's minds.
Yeah.
You know, a strong brand tells a story. Think about the luxury of Rolex or the innovation people associate with Apple or the reliability of McDonald's. IP is completely essential here because it legally protects those core elements. It turns them from just ideas into assets you can defend.
Okay. So like the actual visual elements.
Exactly. Take logos. The Nike swoosh, Apple's apple. They're more than just graphics, aren't they?
Mm.
They're instantly recognizable symbols carrying huge value. They're trademarked very carefully to make sure no one else can use them. This builds incredible trust. You know what you're getting, and it helps them stand out.
Makes sense.
And it's not just logos, business names too. Trademarking your name stops others using it. That protects your reputation as you grow, reinforces trust.
Right, crucial for expansion.
Absolutely. And then there are brand messages. Those catchy slogans. Nike's just do it, or Apple's think different. They convey values, build loyalty. Often these are protected too, maybe by trademark or copyright. They create that emotional link, you know. Yeah. That's the real power. It's not just legal, it's psychological.
That psychological anchor idea is powerful. Okay, so you've built the identity, but then you need to engage people, right? Get the message out there. This takes us into marketing. How does IP fit into those, well, much broader efforts? Marketing seems so dynamic, always changing.
It is dynamic, absolutely.
Yeah.
Marketing is all about attracting and keeping customers by figuring out what they need and want and then delivering it. It's huge, really. Covers market research, promotion, sales, distribution, everything. The goal is always visibility, trust, traffic, and ultimately, more market share.
Okay.
And if you think about the classic marketing mix, the 7PS product, place, price, promotion, people, packaging, process, IP, touches a lot of these, sometimes in subtle ways.
How so?
Well, trademarks are obvious, right? They protect the brand names, logos, slogans used in all the promotions. But it's more than just stopping copying. It ensures consistency.
Ah, consistency builds trust.
Exactly. Then copyrights. They protect the original creative stuff in campaigns, like the photos in an ad, the design of a newsletter, the text and look of a website.
Yep.
This maintains the brand's unique voice and look. Stops it getting watered down.
Right. Keeps it distinct.
And industrial designs can protect the look of the products themselves. Think about how a product's aesthetic is often a key part of its marketing. Apple's designs, for example, they market the design. IP protects that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Hey, are you an IP expert with a focus topic you want to share? Then you might be just the right fit to become an IP subject matter expert at the IP Business Academy. It's a great opportunity to build visibility for your expertise and reach new clients through a trusted academic platform. You'll be supported in creating digital content, LinkedIn strategies, and outreach to your target group. If you're ready to raise your profile and position yourself as a thought leader, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. End of advertisement.
So marketing sets the big picture, but advertising is often our first direct hit from a brand, that direct pitch. How does IP keep those ads effective and, importantly, unique in such a noisy world? It must be tough to stay original.
It really is. Advertising is a specific part of marketing, focused purely on promoting products or services to particular audiences. Nina Kuhler's lecture mentioned three types, which is useful. First, above the line, ATL, that's mass media, TV ads, billboards. Broad reach, not super targeted.
Got it. Big splash.
Then below the line, BTL, this is more focused. Direct mail, events, in-store stuff, aimed at specific groups trying to be memorable.
Right, targeted.
And through the line, TTL, which kind of mixes both. Uses mass media, but also direct targeted approaches together. Integrated campaigns.
Okay, so across all those types.
IP is critical. Again, trademarks protect the slogans, logos, brand names you see plastered everywhere in ads. It ensures instant recognition, stops confusion. Think about a specific jingle or even a character used in ads. Those can often be trademarked too. They become shortcuts to the brand.
Like brand mascots.
Exactly. And copyrights protect the creative work within the ad. The visuals, the layout, the script, the music. Competitors can't just rip off a successful campaign. They have to create their own.
Forces innovation, I guess.
Precisely. And even industrial designs can feature. Maybe an ad showcases a product with a unique protected shape, or even the look of an app's interface being advertised. It reinforces that visual distinctiveness.
I hadn't really thought about IP protecting the look of an interface shown in an ad. That's quite specific.
It can be, yeah. It all adds up to protecting that investment in creativity.
Absolutely. Okay, from the ad to the actual product.
Mm-hmm.
Packaging. It's more than just a box, isn't it? Especially in stores. It feels like a mini advertisement itself.
Oh, definitely. Packaging is this crucial blend of protecting the product inside and grabbing your attention on the shelf. It has several key jobs. First, protecting the product. Storage, shipping, handling. Essential for fragile stuff or food.
Right, basic function.
Second, and vital for B2C, differentiating the product. Unique shapes, colors, materials make it stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Think Coca-Cola's bottle again. Iconic. Instantly recognizable.
Can't mistake it.
Third, it has to communicate information. Ingredients, instructions, warnings. Think about medicine packaging relies on trademarks for the brand name, maybe designs for the pack itself.
So how does IP lock that down?
Multiple ways. Trademarks protect the logos and names on the package. Obvious, but crucial for recognition in that split second a consumer glances at the shelf. Industrial designs protect the unique shape or patterns or overall aesthetic of the packaging itself. Think unique bottle shapes, textured boxes, distinctive containers. This is huge for visual appeal.
The look and feel.
Exactly. It's about the whole experience, even unboxing. And sometimes patents can even cover innovative packaging features, maybe a new type of sustainable material, or a clever opening mechanism, or a tamper-proof design.
Wow. Patents for packaging.
Yeah, if it's a genuinely new technical solution. So IP helps make packaging work harder, protecting, attracting, and being legally defensible.
Okay, finally, let's talk franchising. This always seems like the ultimate IP play, scaling a business model globally. How central is IP to making that work?
It's not just central, it's the absolute backbone. Franchising is basically a contract where the franchisor lets a franchise run a business using their established model and, crucially, their IP, especially trademarks. It's often a win-win, right?
Mm.
The franchisor expands fast without managing every single outlet. The franchise gets a proven brand, reducing their startup risk.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Nina Kuhler gave some good examples. A business format franchise like McDonald's, Franchisees replicate everything, the look, the operations, the menu, all under the famous trademarks and using copyrighted manuals and, likely, trade secrets for things like recipes. Consistency is E.
The Big Mac tastes the same everywhere. Mostly.
Hopefully. Then there's product distribution franchises, like car dealerships, say Ford. Ford makes the cars. Franchisees sell them under the Ford trademark and follow their standards. Or a manufacturing franchise, like Coca-Cola. They provide the secret syrup formula, a trade secret, to local bottlers who produce and distribute the drink under the Coke trademark.
So IP holds it all together?
Completely. Trademarks are number one. They protect the brand identity, ensuring every location looks and feels like part of the same family. Essential for consumer trust. Copyrights protect the training materials, the operations manuals. This guarantees standards are the same everywhere, from making the product to customer service.
Standardization.
Yes. And trade secrets. Things like secret recipes, special processes. They provide that unique competitive edge. They're carefully guarded within the franchise network. Without that bundle of IP rights, franchising on a global scale would be, well, practically impossible.
It really shows how interconnected it all is. So wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway for our listeners from this deep dive?
I think Nina Kolar's lecture really drives home this symbiotic relationship. Strong IP rights and smart business strategy, they feed each other. When businesses leverage their IP effectively, trademarks, copyrights, designs, secrets, they can build powerful brands that connect with people. They can create marketing and advertising that's both eye-catching and legally protected, develop packaging that's practical and appealing, and yes, scale globally through franchising. It's the engine underneath.
Yeah, it's clear that in today's world, understanding how IP works with business isn't just nice to know. It's pretty much essential for long-term success. It's that hidden advantage.
Absolutely. And it makes you think, doesn't it? For you listening, knowing how carefully brands guard their IP, does it change how you view your favorite brands? Or maybe more importantly, if you're thinking about starting something yourself, how does this make you think differently about building value and, well, protecting your own great ideas?
Definitely food for thought. Keep exploring, keep learning, and thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.